This week on the PhD Cast, the whole industry's in Cannes, so we may as well report from there too. We discuss Jason Silva's presentation for PhD on technology and the art of the impossible, how we transcend the limitations of the human condition, how the singularity will come about through genetics, nanotechnology and robotics, how patterns reflect nature and technology, and how we probe the perimeter of the possible and explore the abject possible. The only response to the human condition is to create. In the words of Mark Holden, buckle up. This is the PhD Cast from PhD Australia. Hey, joining me on a Cannes-themed PhD Cast this week, we've got Lauren Oldham.
Hello.
And Christian Swarer.
Hello.
And Emma Glazier.
Hi.
Buckle up, people. This week, we're reporting from Cannes. We're not there. A lot of people were. One of them was Jason Silva. He gave a presentation on behalf of PhD. If you haven't seen Jason, it was a little bit like this. A little bit of Jason Silva, just in case you weren't there. Jason gave PhD's keynote at Cannes this year. He took us on a 40-minute mind trip. The keynote, really, of a series of seminars that the PhD curated, all the way through from the exponentiality of technology, all the way through to what it is to be human, to transcend boundaries. And as he put it, the only response to the human condition is to create. Guys, in a crazy 40 minutes from Jason on behalf of PhD, let's try and take it apart. He started off by talking about technology and the exponentiality of technology, the idea that 25 years ago computers were huge and in rooms, they're now in smartphones. In 25 years' time, that'll mean they're microscopic, nanotech, and inside us. That's a viable hypothesis, right?
Totally, and I think as scary as it may sound, everything that we've also talked about this in a number of other forums as well, how technology is actually exponentially growing and getting, everything's getting so fast and changing in such a tremendous pace. And the thing is that you can already see not only the roots, but it's like it's almost like a little tree already coming out of that root that's going to be a massive one in 40 years. But you actually see the proofs already now today how it's going to happen. And I just found it really fascinating. It was definitely a really different Cannes seminar than the rest of it.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, as Christian said, there's a lot of things around at the moment around sort of future of technology and what's happening. And I found his presentation to definitely kind of be very different, take a bit of a different perspective, I suppose, in terms of, you know, the things we've seen so far still maybe only go 5 to 10 years ahead, and they look at things that I can visualize and I can understand. And some of the things he was talking about, you know, he went much further into that sort of future space around computers. Or technology replacing kind of human functions and brain, and you know, into a sort of a completely kind of different world, which I thought was great.
I say on my first go at watching it, I thought, am I retarded? Like, I was thinking I couldn't really catch up with what he was saying, because it was going really fast, and then he was the concepts that he was talking about are things that we have talked about, but you sit there and you watch the visual stimulation, you listen to what he's saying, and you try to actually wrap it around in your brain to understand what he's doing. So I was actually trying to do my n-gram map of what was going on. You could not do that real time. So my second go, I could definitely, I think it's worth a second watch. I'm not trying to increase our YouTube views, but it is definitely worth a second watch, because I think it helps to really land a lot of the ideas that he had in there. And I think my favorite part of what he talked about was the sense of wonder and that awe, and just kind of reconfiguring how we look at things. Because Mark said in the beginning, we are going into the future looking at the past. And I've been reading a book, Think Like a Futurist, and it is all about the more things that you experience, the wider your viewpoint gets. And so if you can expand, increase your awe, your creativity will expand and all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, Mark's introduction to the seminar was that we're walking backwards into the future. We can only see the future through the lens of the past. And the objective was to give us, in Mark's words, a future-tethered paradigm. And the session aimed to reboot our intuitive sense of tomorrow. And that was the point. And I thought it was an interesting and often quite, you had to really concentrate, right? Because this guy is a technologist and a philosopher and a poet. And that is apparent. It was like listening to poetry. It was like trying to grasp Byron at 70 miles an hour first time round. And so I thought, I love that aspect. And I love the fact that the poetry was his act of creativity. It's Jason's act of communicating this to us and how he looks to create that all.
I really liked it in the sense that first I didn't really know what to expect. And I thought that he will just be talking about like technology and the evolution of technology in the sense of this is what's happening now, this is what's going to happen in 5 years, in 10 years, etc., etc. But it was taking a step back, a huge step back,
or forward.
And first when he was saying that, well, I don't know if actually when Mark was introducing him and saying that he's a creator, I didn't know what to expect from him, because I watch his series and I know that he's an awesome like kind of TV presenter, let's call it, but I didn't see the his videos,
the Shots of All.
And when you actually see his first two videos, then you realize, oh yeah, this guy is actually really a creative genius. It's something how he's raising his philosophical ideas around what will happen in the future. I think it's awesome. It's really hard to grasp. So I was actually doing something in the meanwhile, and I was listening it to, in the background, and realized it doesn't work. So I had to put my full attention into it.
No, you can't. You can't low involvement process this one.
No, not at all.
It's a very high involvement bit of content.
You're gonna worn out by the end.
And, I mean, there were some very specific things that he pulled on, that he pulled out rather on technology. The first, which is probably the singularity, and I thought what was quite interesting for me was the way he broke that down and the three components of the singularity, which were genetics, nanotechnology, and robotic AI. That for me was a really useful construct. It was a useful construct through which you could start to understand what when people like Ray Kurzweil talk about the singularity, you can start to understand just exactly what they're talking about. And I thought the other really interesting aspect of technology that Jason touched on was this inherent sense of optimism. He talked about how this idea of the adjacent possible, of probing the perimeter of the possible, has a built-in optimism. And that what technology is doing is shrinking the lag time between what we can imagine and what we can create. Shrinking the lag time between what we can imagine and what we can create. Technology isn't something to be feared or run away from. That what technology is doing, it's closing the gap between our imagination and what's possible. And I think as a creative industry, as a media agency, as a communications industry, that becomes increasingly important, right? And it's almost like, I kind of feel like one of the challenges for us is to keep the art of the possible, of what we, you know, keep pace with what we can imagine, with what we can actually do.
I totally agree. I like the concept of obviously we are always trying to be ahead of the curve, right, and try to come up with really fresh, really great creative ideas. But I just like the idea of yes, you get a brief, for instance, and you want that brand to take a step forward, but actually what you should be doing, instead of taking a look at what the brand is doing now and taking a step forward based on that, you should take a look at, or try to take right away, 3 steps forward, because that will probably lend itself to a much better first step on the first place. So I just like this concept of actually looking much further ahead, and even if you don't dive into it, and even if you're, as a brand, don't try to put brain implants into people, but that concept of just thinking about it might get you a place in the next 2 years that just creates a much better atmosphere of creativity around what you're doing.
Yeah, from like a more sort of, I guess you're saying like a more sort of far-reaching, without sort of scaring them, but far-reaching perspective, rather than what are we doing in the next 6 months, but where are we going as a brand? How are we telling the story of your brand and kind of reaching consumers forward-facing?
Yeah, what I like is, it's kind of like divergent thinking with the lens of technology. So it's like having like this really broad spectrum of what's going to happen that you can actually dilute and like deep dive into stuff that's going to be relevant for you, not so far ahead maybe. What I also liked about it is that when he was talking about it, that the information technology was only the first step, and now we're just getting more deeper and deeper in like really specific areas, as you mentioned, Chris, as well, in the nanotechnology, genetics and robotics. And he was also saying that that biology is something that's just becoming a canvas of creativity again, and we can actually reinvent ourselves, we can reinvent our species. That's a really freaky idea, but at the same time it all made sense, and I think it was just putting things into such a different perspective that was quite interesting.
And if you think about this session, I mean is it futile to even attempt to draw out implications, considerations? Is that mental? Is this what Mark set up? Is this sit back, relax, buckle up, and just experience 40 minutes of awe? Or do we think there are genuine implications or things that we can pull out as media practitioners for what we do and how we do it?
First of all, I think the concept of just when he was saying that in order to, you know, and it was not his quote actually, it was I think Timothy Leary's quote, that in order to use your head, you gotta go out of your mind.
Yeah.
So I think just as a not that tangible concept of thinking about creativity, I think it was quite useful and inspirational. But at the same time, all these things, he didn't really go into details about, for instance, nanotechnology and how nanotechnology will be able to be picked up by brands and actually used in a really tangible way.
But how can he or anyone else actually know that?
Yeah.
No, but I like the fact that he just put it out there, and it was like, all right, you either grab it and go somewhere really far with it, or you just get inspired by this concept and you might just find some other nuggets of interesting information that he was like putting in front of you. So I think it was definitely a session that was more inspirational than tangible, but it was something that you could just take these huge concepts what he was talking about, and even if you just find like one piece of tiny information along which you can start your journey and thinking about how you use it in a brand space and in what technology will allow you to do in the far future.
Because it kind of gets people, I guess, one of those sessions that completely takes you out of everything you know and everything you're used to, and it's changing perspective. It might be a way of thinking that you can then go on and apply to things that you do now, day to day, rather than those, as we said, those sort of tangible, I guess, benefit or, you know, applications from some of the things he was talking about. It's more, I guess, yeah, get out of your mindset, get out of your, you know, comfort zone, and that kind of perspective and approach to your work now is probably something people could take away.
I agree. It's a creative. It's not necessarily a direct media thing. It doesn't even have to be technology, even though a lot of what he was talking about was technology. It's just broadening that horizon that you have, that the engrams that you have, and maybe you're going to spark an idea in the future.
And that was only one, of course, of many sessions at Cannes. It was PhD's keynote, but PhD also curated mind trips around other sessions for delegates at Cannes. One of them was around live storytelling, a session by Twitter, and a wonderful introduction by Patrick Stewart, who of course parodied David Cameron when he was on the phone, a very serious phone call to Barack Obama. And what Patrick Stewart said was that there's a hunger for this. There's a hunger for in the moment excitement, and that was very much the spirit of the Twitter seminar, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed that session in particular, and not just because it had a picture of Ryan Gosling in it, but going on from your little quote from Patrick Stewart as well, and it's kind of how he then went to show how that excitement and that in the moment can just, it connects people, and it connects them in a way that wasn't possible, say, 5, 10 years ago when these kind of digital platforms such as Twitter didn't exist. So, and they went on to talk about from, you know, maybe more brand perspective, when it comes to traditional storytelling having a beginning, middle and end, with social platforms now, and well, digital platforms and media in general, that is an ongoing process of continuous storytelling. It's not beginning, middle, end. It's like you're there, you're in that space, the consumers are there, and there's always a story, and there's always people to reach and to connect to. So I thought that was really, really interesting.
I was just thinking about the concept of because we talk a lot about real-time planning and real-time feedback and how important and increasingly important it becomes for brands. And I see in the not-so-far future already a job description for a position for somebody sitting in an agency who's literally just taking a look at lots and lots of newsfeed, what's happening in the world, with another monitor with all the brands he's actually handling in a social space, and right away like creating tweets or posts based on
that.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about the one, like a year ago I saw a job description.
We are in the future. We're in your future.
But this is the thing, that it's not, so it's really tricky at the same time, because then you see people also in their weekends and during the night, actually in their offices, sitting like next to a lamp and like writing the posts. I love the concept. I think it's a dangerous concept when a client picks up on it and just says that, okay, now it's your turn, and run with it. In terms of like staffing and actually putting headouts.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about brand, you know, or creative and brands being equal to consumers, and essentially what all sort of brands and stuff in this space has done is lost control, and that's not a scary thing, and that's not a bad thing. But this kind of
that's the Jurassic Park one, isn't it? As Laura Dern says to Richard Attenborough, this isn't the illusion. The illusion is that you had control in the first place. You never had control of that. That was the illusion.
Indeed,
brands never
indeed.
Had control.
Indeed.
The broadcast age just let them think they did.
Indeed.
Let us all think we did.
And now, of course, everyone's got that.
And now the gloss of actors are rampaging.
You've cut me off my point now. So if we think about it in terms of, yeah, consumers having control of your brand in some degree, the challenge being, how do you empower those people rather than broadcast to them and just purely advertise in a traditional way?
I think that the fact that brands and consumers are on equal footing, that really it's kind of crafting the story together the whole time, really goes even further to illustrate the fact that you can't just you can't just say what you're going to do or say that you're a good brand. You actually have to do. And I think that it's kind of moved from we've moved from broadcast. We're kind of in like one-to-one communication, and now it's more of like action oriented that they have to look at. And there's actually been a recent thing in the US where Starbucks is getting behind all its people and actually providing college tuition to all of its employees if they want to go online, but same. And so it's that action of being a brand that lives
behaves actually, not only talks
yeah,
about it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
More about what brands are not saying what's important.
Priorities or values, I guess. Values.
And then if you do behave in that way, then the people, the consumers, everything will tell that story for you.
Yeah.
Rather than you do that,
this,
that kind of
this kind of credibility and authenticity and transparency was I think a really reoccurring theme also across the concession, but also we've seen the same in Mumbrella a couple of things.
Absolutely.
And one of the themes that has been prevalent for a long time, but even more so prevalent this year, and the same at Cannes and Mumbrella at the Commons a couple of weeks ago, is this idea of content. Not the idea of content, but the content is now, it's not an idea, it's a very real thing. And the prevalence of it, the content seems to be having a brand new surge in the value of it, the importance of it, the scale of it, the idea that brands have not now got to tell stories through content, the idea that content is how brands can go live, that content is how brands can engage communities and create communities and empower communities. And content seems to be a big theme at Cannes, but a big theme right now, right?
Well, I think it's because content is essentially could encompass any form of communication that a brand puts out, whether that be
kind of the point, right?
Yeah, and that gives that idea of, you know, that cross-channel all-media communications which is great, I guess, as an industry that they're using more of that language rather than, you know, the TV campaign, the press, this. It's all about brand content and how does that content live across all these different channels to give that sort of unified message or unified or integrated campaign conversation.
Yeah, well, I think what's also so again back to this kind of authenticity and credibility angle, I think it's a huge opportunity for brands, and I just think that some of the brands, especially actually around the FMCG sector, they are just kind of trying to jump on this content train and kind of badge content and use stuff that it's going to be exciting for the consumers, but there needs to be much more to it. So as Laura said as well, if they actually need to practice what they preach, so I think it's really so what I want to get out of this really long monologue is that brands need to kind of reinvent how they want to communicate with their consumers, and there needs to be a process and a structure behind it that's currently not. And I think this is why many of the brands are struggling with it, because they're just stuck in the old way of doing things. And now there is this whole new era of content which holds amazing opportunities for them, but they can't live up to its fullest extent.
Yeah, I mean, again, sort of... the content, most people see that as being like the online video that you seed and post through social and stuff like that, rather than content being how you view your brand communications across all media. And it ultimately, I think, just sort of sounds very similar to when we talk about, you know, cross-media planning and integrated campaigns, and content just kind of, I guess, sews that all together in terms of what appears across all channels.
And that is about, I think, all we've got time for this week. It's good to hear the spirit of Nicola Davey is alive and well in Christian's rambling monologue.
Nicola Davey Daniel.
Congratulations, by the way. Is alive and well in Christian's rambling. But we got there in the end, as did all of us. Thanks for bearing with us while we struggled to make sense of Jason Silver
thanks,
and all of that. And a big thank you to Lauren Oldham.
Bye.
Fish and Flora.
So sorry, guys.
And Everglazer.
Bye.
And I'll leave you in the much more better words. There you go. There's some great English to finish the PhD, guys, isn't it? I'll leave you in the safer words of Jason Silver. We may be stumbling primates, but when we work together, we are primates who can fly. On that spirit, thanks for listening. We'll just about be back next week in our very own little future. Thanks for listening. Baphomet was a really useful construct. It was a useful construct through which you could start to understand what when people like Ray Kurzweil talk about the singularity, you can start to understand just exactly what they're talking about.
I think that's a great summary. I mean, yes, I agree.
I just twisted a stitch. Let's go with that again.